I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. It matters greatly what you say God is to you, and that you will declare these things. You must not just believe that Jesus is a Savior, or even the Savior. You must believe and receive Him that He is my Savior and confess what He's doing in your life. That's why we start off the class with that. And we say that this is happening. Not that we're trying to talk God into something. We found out it was His will. And so we're agreeing with Him. And that's what confession literally means, is saying the same thing that He has said. If He says we're strong,
we're strong.
If He says that we're clean and righteous, He says we're overcomers,
we are.
Right? We're going to agree with Him, and saying that, even if you don't feel that way or don't look that way, that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so what the Lord intends for us is to learn how to live this way, that every day when you open your eyes, it doesn't matter what you're hearing, what you're seeing, what you're feeling, or how it's been in the past, you're going to say what He said about it. You're going to speak faith over it, not what you see. We walk by faith, and not by sight, but by faith. So, Father, all of us do. We embrace what You've called us to be and do. We pursue faith and pleasing You and walking this victorious walk that You've called us to. And so we ask for utterance, anointing, grace, direction in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we call Faith for Provision. And so we're specifically feeding our faith from the Word for provision. And we're giving one by one 30 scriptural reasons, 30 truths from Scripture, why we are convinced, why we are persuaded, why we are sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say it out loud. Abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always God's will,
for us all.
Abundant provision,
is
always
God's will
for me.
For me.
We begin with reason number one, is that the Lord is my shepherd. And the Scripture said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the same word translated lack. And why would a sheep be in such great condition? Protected, fed, cared for, because they have a good shepherd. And we do. And so we've gone one by one through these other reasons. We looked at the goodness of God. We looked at the fatherhood of God. We looked at the creation of God. We looked at God's will in heaven. We looked at the God of Abraham. If Abraham was here today, and we could ask him, Abraham, sir, there are some people that think, you know, sometimes God wants you poor and broke. You agree with that? He would say, that's not the God I knew, right? That's not the God I know. The God Abraham knows and knew made him very rich. One of the richest people in the country. And then we went on to say, you know, find out we are the seed of Abraham. And his blessing that God gave him belongs to us, to his seed after him. And then we looked at the blessing of tithing, honoring God, putting God first. He didn't say, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and honor me and put me first and you will be broke.
No.
He didn't say that. He said the opposite. He said, I will open windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. You won't have room to receive it. I'll rebuke the devourer and the thief for your sake. Doesn't sound like poverty or lack. Now, what we're contending with is the religious tradition that has just inundated churches and believers for centuries. Junk has been taught in the name of Christianity. And what we talked about earlier in the week is that the truth doesn't change. It is the same, and like God. That's where it comes from. God is the same. He doesn't change. Lies and deception cannot help but be inconsistent. The most accomplished liars and deceivers in the world, they may, you know, keep it going for a while, but by right reason of what a lie is, it can't be consistent. You will see inconsistencies in it, and that should alert you, yes. Right? You go, hold on now, that's not exactly what they said last time, right? I mean, you should, it should set off a flag, because the truth doesn't change. And so what we're saying is, when you find a known truth, God's my shepherd, but he might want you sick and broke. Well, I don't agree with that. Right? God's a good father. And we all think, you know, natural human fathers and mothers shouldn't abandon their children. They shouldn't let their children wander around lost by themselves and die of starvation, you know, poverty. But it's okay if God does it.
No.
So can you see what I'm saying? Inconsistency. And so we got through 10 of these, and we're down to number 11 today. Look with me again, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and the first verse, our 11th reason in our study, why we're sure abundant provisions always God's will for us all, is that he told us to imitate him. God told us, do what I do. Be like me. Act like me. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 1st verse, and this is the Amplified, it says, therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. Imitate God. Copy him. Follow his example as his well-beloved child. And on yesterday's class, we talked about how he said, be holy as I am holy. Then he said, be merciful as your Father is merciful. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Be kind, tenderhearted like he's kind. Jesus said, be perfect as your Father's perfect. It has to do with completeness and wholeness. So he's told us, not just one place, but numerous places, to be like me. Well, God's not broke. He doesn't practice poverty. Does he or not?
No.
He doesn't practice poverty. God likes gold. I can almost hear some church folks getting quiet. That's not my idea. That's not my thought. Go to Genesis, the 2nd chapter, if you would. We read earlier in the week about how God blessed Solomon. And that was one of our points in our study about wisdom and riches. Jesus said, talking about God being our provider, that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like God can clothe a hill with flowers and beauty and that kind of thing. But Jesus called what happened with Solomon glory. Well, what do we see? What was it that was his glory? We see two main things. The wisdom of God and riches. Right? Is it a fluke that the wisest man was the richest man? See, that was one of our points. We said no. And we asked the question, does God want you wise or to be a fool? Well, see, how many scriptures in Proverbs did we see that if you're a fool, you wind up in poverty. But if you're wise, you wind up wealthy and rich and this guy actually live long too. The Bible said wisdom in one hand has long life. In the other hand, riches and honor. And if we pursue God's wisdom and ask for it and endeavor to walk in it, and then he says, yeah, but I want you broke. It pleases me. We're going, huh? Right? You told me, right? If I'd walk in wisdom, I'd do well. So you see what I keep saying? We're looking for these inconsistencies, these things that don't match. And that's one of these right here. When Solomon came to to the throne, the Bible said, without going through all of it again, we spent a whole several days on that a while back. But everything they built, most of it was gold. I mean, the spoons, the poles, all this furniture was pure gold. And whole panels were overlaid with pure gold. And then in his own palace, the throne, pure gold with lions beside of it. 12 of them, pure gold, all the utensils, the plates, everything, and jewels, precious jewels everywhere. And why is that in the Bible? Are we supposed to read that and go, that just makes me sick? That's disgusting. That opulence, that expensive stuff, that could have been used for the poor. See, that is a quote from the Bible, but not from Jesus. Right. It's a quote of Judas Iscariot, who hours after he said that, betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And see, here's where it all went wrong. The enemy convinced the church years ago that money, gold, money, jewels, nice stuff, expensive stuff, is bad and wrong. And it never was. It never was. People say, well, money is the root of all evil. See, why do people misquote Scripture like that? It did not say that. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And don't think that's a technical point. That is major. It changes everything. Gold is good. Wealth is good. Having abundant resources is good. Being broke is bad. Not being able to pay your bills, bad, right? Now, there are people, sadly, on this planet will starve to death and die today. Today. Just for lack of a decent meal to eat. Now, that's unacceptable. That is that good or bad?
Bad.
Evil.
Yes.
The word bad and evil are from the same root. That is ultimate bad. Well, that's poverty at its extreme. Well, not being able to pay your utility bill this month is the same evil stuff. It's just not the same measure of it. Can you see what I'm saying? It's a little measure. This is a giant measure. Enough of poverty will kill you.
That's right.
Literally. Yes. A smaller degree of poverty will restrict you, hold up something in your life, could cause, just the pressure of not being able to pay your bills. That's a taste of death. Good or bad?
Bad.
Bad. Bad. So it has never been that gold, jewels, riches, wealth is just evil, just bad. Man, you want to shun that. You want to stay away from it. God doesn't.
Right.
He made it.
Yeah.
That's how he lives. Is that right?
Yeah.
And people like Solomon that walked in the fullness of his wisdom at a time, they experienced it. Gold everywhere. And money and things and jewels. Here's the thing. Can you have it? Can you use it without it ruling you?
Yes.
Without you loving it?
Yes.
And lusting after it?
Yes.
Without you serving it? That's what the Lord said. You can't serve God and mammon. But that doesn't mean wealth is bad. It just means nobody can serve two masters. Hmm? You don't let it use you, you use it. And if Jesus is your Lord, you'll do anything he tells you with money and stuff. You'll give it all away. You'll let this go. You'll do whatever he tells you, but you know it's not his will if you do give it all away today. It's his will to multiply it back to you. Is that right? In the near future, you're going to be way better shape than you were to start with. That's God's will. Can you say amen or oh me or I'll think about it? Or in Genesis, the second chapter, this is describing creation when God created the heavens and the earth. In the second chapter in the 9th verse, it says, out of the ground God made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight, good for food, the tree of life in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now see, this is part of what we've been talking about. Isaiah 5 says, don't call good evil. And don't call evil good. And that's one of the things that we've been identifying. What's good? What's bad? Or evil? Well, is abundance good?
Yes.
Is lack bad?
Yes.
Well, having said that, look at the very next verse. A river went out of Eden to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now this is God gave this revelation to the writer of Genesis. And he said, the name of the first is Pison, which is that which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. God said there's gold there. And then did he say, and that's evil. And I want you to stay away from that. That gold. No. Look at the very next verse. And the gold of that land is good. Gold is what?
Good.
Good. See, now people almost choke saying that. Like, no, it's a, you know, we're supposed to stay away from filthy lucre. We taught on that recently here in faith school. Do you even know what filthy lucre is? Huh? Sounds like a bad guy in a movie or something, you know? No. That term means getting money by shameful and questionable methods. What's wrong is not the money. It's being willing to lie to get it.
That's right.
Steal to get it. Kill to get it. Hurt somebody to get it. That means it's an idol to you. You serve it. You worship it. You don't worship God and you don't care about people. Well, it wasn't the money that was evil. Or if there was some gold sitting over there that you killed somebody, and if the gold could talk, and you said, you evil gold, do you see what happened? And the gold would say, hey, it wasn't my idea. I'm just gold. I was just here.
Right?
Who made gold? Come on, help me out.
God.
Come on, help me out.
God.
Do you remember that he said, you know, in the first chapter, that was the second chapter, if you just back up to the first chapter in the 31st verse, when he finished making, you know, he made the heavens, he made the earth, he brought the land up out of the water. He made the trees, the animals. Of course, he made all the elements that are in it. Something that the Lord answered me a while back on, you know, we have vehicles. My wife just got a new vehicle, an SUV, a while back. And one of the things we did is we went out there and laid hands on it. And we prayed over it. called it into the ministry, and asked the Lord to bless it and keep it. Well, some years ago, I heard people talking about, you know, this and that, this thing being blessed or that thing being blessed. And I thought, well, can a thing be blessed? A machine? Could a machine be blessed? How could it? I like to have scripture for what I'm doing. Do you?
Yeah.
And so the Lord eventually answered me. He said, where the components that that's made out of, where did it come from? Came out of the ground. Is that right? The metal, the steel, even the rubber and all the other things came out of the ground. He said, can the ground be cursed or blessed?
Yes.
There it is, right in the scriptures. And so, no, if you're not serving God and you don't care about God, but you think just as a good luck talisman you'll have somebody bless your vehicle, that ain't going to work. You ain't blessed. So your stuff ain't going to be blessed. But if you're endeavoring to serve the Lord and do His things, yeah, your stuff can be blessed. Do you remember the Israelites' stuff in the wilderness didn't wear out? Is that right? For 40 years, it was kept. Why? They were on a journey, was supposed to be going to where God had them going. Took them too long. But either way, it can happen. That's what I'm saying. There is something to that. And the Bible said, Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that He had made, and what?
Behold,
it was what?
Very.
Does that include the precious metals?
Yes.
And the precious stones?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And the rare woods and all those things. So you know, what makes something so expensive? You know, well, maybe it's got rare metals. It's titanium. It's a lot of aluminum or better tech, and the inside is not just plastic, it's real leather, and it's
right.
This, right, and the other. That's what runs the price up.
Yeah.
But are we to look at it as Christians and spit on it and go, oh, that's an evil thing. Look, yeah. That thing costs $300,000. Oh, that's bad. That's bad. What makes it bad? What makes it bad? The thing itself is not bad. What's better, cheap watch or a nice watch?
A nice watch.
Huh? Falling down house or a nice house?
Nice house?
Tiny little house or a big roomy house?
Big roomy.
See what I'm saying? The enemy has deceived the church about these things so that they have just kind of lumped it all together and said, oh, no, look at that. Man, that can't be of God because that was expensive. Whew. Well, you're going to have a problem when you get to heaven. Right? Because everywhere you look, Gold. That's gold too.
Yes.
Walking on gold. Yeah. I'm looking at gold. I sit down on the platform. Gold. It's gold. Gold everywhere. And God says, ain't it great?
Yeah.
Isn't it wonderful? Because He made it. Oh, somebody say, He made it. He made it. He made it. And if He made it, what do we know? If He made it, it's good. Very good. Go with me to Revelation 21. Is it revelation that it's not the gold, it's not the expensive stuff, it's not the valuable, the precious things that's bad? It's loving it. That's the problem. Covetousness is idolatry, the scripture says. And this is not something that you just run past now, because I assure you, me, every one of us, have wanted something too much at some time or other.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, don't look at me so holier than thou. I know you wanted something too much. And the problem is, if you want it too much, you'll go too far to get it. You'll compromise. And that's where people wind up lying and even stealing and compromising. No, you don't only want... It's okay to want some nice things, but you want them to come the way God wants them to come and when He wants them to come, right? His way, His timing, because when he adds it to you, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And there's no sorrow with it. It's not a burden. It's not a problem. It's not a hindrance. You're not loving it. You love God. And that's why I changed my vocabulary some years ago. The Lord pointed out to me that I should never say, I love a thing. Like I love a car or I love a house. And people say it all the time. You know, I love my house. I love my this. That's too strong a word. We're not to love these things. We're to love God. And we love people. Mm-hmm. Things, we can enjoy them. We can use them. But we don't love them.
That's right.
Why don't everybody say it out loud? I love God.
I love God.
And I love His people.
I don't love money.
I don't love things.
I don't love
cars, houses, clothes,
jewelry.
I can use it.
I can
enjoy it.
But I don't love it.
Amen. Is that okay? Hallelujah. We are to love what He loves. And call good what He calls good. I mentioned this, but I'll say this again. Isaiah 5. Mm-hmm. I hadn't forgot about Revelation, but Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to them that call evil good, and call good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, and bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight." And you'll see that with theologians. You'll see that with ministers and preachers. They have convoluted things. And they have said, oh, this is bad. You need to stay away from this. And this is, they have convoluted. They have switched good and evil. And evil and good. You know, I know nobody wants to be sick. And you got that terminal cancer and everything. But, you know, it could be a blessing in disguise. No, no, no. It's a curse. And it'll never be a blessing. Well, you lost everything you had and you're living on the street. But you know, you just got to accept it. Could be God's will to teach you through some. No, no. Poverty is part of the curse. Sickness is part of the curse. Mental anguish and torments, curse. Failure, defeat, curse. Curse. And I'm not cursed. I'm blessed, and I know what good is. Hallelujah. Having plenty is good. Abundance is good. Don't love it, but you can have it, and you can even help others with it. Can you say amen? Say it out loud. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. We'll see you again soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.